Welcome to my biology podcast for all you IB students struggling with the course or just wanting some revision that you can listen to on your way to school or wherever you're going, just sitting at home. And so I'm going to go through each subtopic and explain the vocabulary and go through the major processes that you need for the extended answer questions especially. And if you have any other questions, please comment on the podcast. I'll start with what topics I find the most difficult to learn and the most content heavy. Today we're starting with cellular respiration. Oxidation and reduction reactions. So if we think about this with electrons, for example, then we need to think about what I use is oil rig. So oxidation is the loss, reduction is gain of electrons. And we just need to remember that to make sense of everything going on here. So with respiration, there are several main steps. So if we go through the kind of overview of this, we are using our glucose. So we've broken down our food and we have our glucose molecules and we want to get energy. And energy is seen as ATP in our body, as ATP is the unit that we use. And we break it apart into ADP plus a phosphate, and that releases energy when it's hydrolyzed. So the main four steps are first glycolysis, then link reaction, then the Krebs cycle, and the electron transport chain. And what we need to remember are the first three are reducing NAD. And in the Krebs cycle, we're also reducing FAD. And then in the electron transport chain, we are doing the opposite. So we're oxidizing this NAD and FAD that we've produced in the previous reactions. So what actually is reducing and oxidizing? So as I said earlier, reducing is actually gaining electrons onto our little boat. And that's what I think of the NAD and the FAD. They are our little boats that carry electrons, so that's why they're called electron carriers. For glycolysis to occur, you need one glucose molecule and two ATP molecules. When you add two ATP to the glucose, they're hydrolyzed into two ADPs, and the two phosphates join either end of the glucose molecule. This instability makes it split into two 3-carbon molecules with one phosphate on either end. So for this first bit, we have used two ATP molecules. In the second phase, we are releasing energy. To do this, each 3-carbon molecule is converted into pyruvate. During this reaction, the NAD plus is reduced into NADH plus H plus. And this happens twice for each 3-carbon molecule. And in this process, two ATPs are also created using the two phosphates on each end of the 3-carbon molecule. And so in the end, we're left with two pyruvates, which are just 3 carbons without any phosphates. So now you might be thinking, oh, where did this other phosphate suddenly come from? What happens to the phosphate is that, in fact, there are lots of different enzymes at work in this glycolysis reaction. And so the IB has simplified this tremendously for us. But in a nutshell, the reduction of the NAD is what allows the second phosphate to be added to the three carbon molecule, and that in turn means that that three carbon molecule can be turned into pyruvate with several other enzymes at work, which gives us our two ATPs for each of those molecules. So we don't need to know the full details of this, but the phosphate does not just randomly bind. That is the work of the reduction reaction and the enzymes helping. There are three main steps that take place in the link reaction. So we're moving from the cytoplasm of the cell into the mitochondria and the mitochondria's matrix, or the cytoplasm of the mitochondria. And to do this, we take our pyruvate, which has three carbons in it, and we decarboxylate it. So that means that one carbon is removed and it forms carbon dioxide, CO2, and then NAD plus, our electron carrier that was earlier also reduced, is now reduced again to NADH plus H plus, and coenzyme A is added to the pyruvate, and this creates acetyl CoA, or acetyl coenzyme A. So if we just go through this one more time, we have the decarboxylation, which produces a CO2, the NAD plus turns into NADH plus H plus, and coenzyme A is added to create acetyl-CoA. But remember, this happens twice because we had two pyruvate molecules. The Krebs cycle occurs once our acetyl-CoA has come into our matrix. And it starts off with the coenzyme A detaching from the acetyl. And if you remember from the link reaction, our pyruvate was a three carbon molecule and one carbon dioxide was released, which made it a two carbon molecule. So acetyl is only two carbons. So it binds to a four carbon compound, which creates a six carbon compound, which is what we need for our decarboxylations to occur. So now that we have a six carbon compound, the NAD plus can be reduced to NADH plus H plus once again, and this releases one of our carbons as CO2, and we have a five carbon molecule. The same happens again, and the NAD plus is reduced into NADH plus H plus, turning it into a four carbon molecule by releasing CO2. But didn't we add a four carbon molecule earlier to our acetyl? Yes, but this one now has high potential energy, and this high potential energy is used to release one ATP to reduce an NAD plus to NADH plus H plus, and to reduce an FAD into FADH2. So this means that we are left with a four carbon compound once again that can be used with the next acetyl that comes into our cycle from the link reaction. In total, two ATPs are created, as we must remember that each pyruvate comes into this cycle, so it actually happens twice. So one ATP is created for each pyruvate. Then in total, six NADs are reduced if we're including both the pyruvates, and there are two FADs reduced. And these electron carriers, the NAD and the FAD, now that it's reduced, it can be used in the next and final step, where they are then oxidized. So that's the point of this Krebs cycle. The electron transport chain and oxidative chemiosmosis is the last step of cellular respiration. And it may seem like this is the most complicated and difficult step, but it is where the most ATP is created and is thus very important. First of all, let's remind ourselves of the past few steps. So we had glycolysis, then the link reaction and the Krebs cycle, and throughout here a few ATPs were created and many NADs and FADs were reduced. Now it's time to oxidize. And so when they were reduced, they were storing the energy of the glucose molecules that we used at the beginning. So the NADH plus H plus now releases hydrogen ions and electrons. And it does this to the first enzyme in our chain. And if we think back to the structure of the mitochondria, you'll remember that there is an inner and an outer membrane, and in between there's the intermembrane space. And the way that it is created is it's kind of a squiggly line with these cristae, or the kind of corners inside. And that's at these corners, that's where we are looking at. And so there's this line of different enzymes that will help in our process. So the electrons are released to the first enzyme, and we now have NAD plus again. So it's been oxidized this time. And oxidation is loss, we must remember. And so that means that the energy is released, and that allows the enzyme to pump H plus, or hydrogen ions, into the inner membrane, intermembrane space. So this is the matrix that the hydrogen ions are in, and they're being pumped into these kind of cristae corners of the intermembrane space, and you'll see later on why that's important. But next we'll move on to the next enzyme, and this one can accept electrons from the FADH2 electron carrier, which is also oxidized to FAD, FAD plus, that is. And this releases electrons again, which allows the H plus protons to be pumped into the intermembrane space. So when I say H plus protons, ions, these are both the little hydrogen atoms which do not have their electrons anymore. And so this is active transport, as we're bringing the hydrogen ions together into these cristae against the concentration gradient, as more and more of the hydrogens are in this other side that we keep on pumping them in. But throughout this process, and the electron carriers are oxidized again and again, not all of the energy is used, not always, from the oxidations. So we need to remember that oxygen is reduced by another enzyme, and it forms water with the hydrogens left over. So we have oxygen plus hydrogen goes to H2O, water. And so we just need to remember that that also happens, as not all the energy can be exactly used. And so that happens, the FAD plus and the NAD plus is They're both oxidized until we have a high concentration of these hydrogen ions, and they accumulate in the cristae. And the reason that this crista is shaped like that, that we have this corner, means that they can accumulate, and it means that there is a lot of potential energy in the intermembrane space. And so cleverly, of course, this is utilized by the last enzyme, the last protein, which is ATP synthase. And you can think of this as a kind of turbine in a way, as since the hydrogen ions accumulate in the crista, they will then shoot through the ATP synthase, turning this turbine of a sort, and it creates ATP as the ADP and the phosphates combine, and that can create 32 to 34 ATPs from a single glucose molecule from the beginning. So this creates a lot more energy than the other two, the glycolysis and the Krebs cycle that we looked at before. So it's important to understand that this is where the oxidation takes place. That's why it's called the oxidative chemiosmosis. And it's an electron transport chain because the electrons are jumping into the enzyme to be used to help pump those hydrogen ions into the crista. I hope you found that explanation understandable and hopefully interesting. Next episode, I'll be looking at photosynthesis. If you would like to give some feedback, please comment. And if I've missed any important topics that you would like me to do next, please also write that. See you next time.